Do you have any advice for anybody who's single and really wanting to be in partnership?
Yeah. I mean, I think a lot of people can relate to heartbreak. So if you're still in that place, you know, or healing from a heartbreak from a previous relationship, I think it's important to remember that, you know, it's not our hearts that are broken. It's our expectations. And by breaking our expectations, it brings us closer to our hearts.
What up, beautiful human beings? Welcome to another episode of the New Perceptions Podcast with me, your host, Ben Brown. This is episode 33 of this podcast, and it's going to be a juicy one, let me tell you that, because we're talking about relationships, which I think is one of the juiciest topics that anybody could talk about. I've just gotten into a new relationship after being single for a year, and so I'm kind of fresh in this feeling of like, wow, I'm in partnership again. How beautiful. Charles is married with three daughters. He's a conscious man. He's in a conscious relationship, and he's got so much wisdom that he's sharing around love, around relating, around masculine, feminine dynamics. There's so much value in this podcast, no matter where you are in your relationship. So maybe also as you're listening to this, you might have a ping to send this to someone that you know would receive something that they need from it. And so I invite you to do that when that comes in, to just send this podcast to someone. You never know what seeds can be planted, what positive seeds can be planted. And our intention with this podcast is to send out positive vibrations on the internet. And I think we've done that. So do let me know what you think of it. And before we get started, I just want you to head over to my website, if you haven't already, benjam.uk, and pop your email address in the newsletter thing, prints. I'm going to be doing some art prints and offerings. And if you don't have any money to offer as an energetic exchange for some art or some coaching, share this podcast. Head over to my YouTube channel, youtube.com/Ben Brown. And have a little watch of my videos. And if you like the video, hit thumbs up. We've got to squeeze the juices out of the algorithms these days. And I appreciate every single one of you and your support in helping me do that and actually get this content out to the people that want to see it. So yeah, I love you, my beautiful community. Thank you always for just being so supportive. Squeezed that in nicely, didn't I? Okay, take a deep breath. Just drop into your body and open to receiving this conversation between myself and Charles Clay. Enjoy. Back once again for round two. Charles Clay, how are you?
Yes, so good. So good to be here, my man.
So good.
It's just good for the soul. I always love our drop-ins, our connections, our conversations. I'm excited for what's to come.
Me too. Especially since the last time that we connected on this podcast, between then and now, we've done some work together.
Yeah,
lots. You've been coaching me. And it's been so transformative for me, so illuminating, so expansive, and just want to recognize your skills in that space, firstly, and just offer my gratitude towards you in helping me on my journey, on my path. So thank you.
It's such an honor and a pleasure, my man. I appreciate that, because it's truly just exciting to witness your growth, your expansion, just stepping into new levels of you and being, and it's been really beautiful to witness. So
thank you for being my witness. Thank you. We need that, don't we? We need to be witnessed in these spaces, not just in these spaces, but in life, I think. Mm-hmm. And I think that rolls on quite nicely to the topic of conversation today, which is relationship, because that essentially is choosing your number one witness. It's like, who's the person that you're choosing to witness through and choosing to be the witness of for life?
Yeah.
assuming that you're the sort of person that's interested in going the long run with one person. Yeah, and even if not, like, yeah, there's no wrong or right way of doing it, I suppose. And let me not also bring any kind of downplay to the importance of my previous relationships. Just because they didn't go the long run doesn't mean that we weren't such important witnesses for each other in those stories and chapters of our lives.
Yeah. My queen and I, we coined a new term. We call it relationship. And it is literally, we get to choose how we relationship these connections with one another, right? You know? And so, you know, some have short chapters, some have long, some have, you know, potent, powerful lessons and blessings that we gain, but it's all just this divine refinement in a sense.
Mm.
You know? So I always appreciate, you know, all the past lovers and relationships that I've had, because that's helped shape who I am today, you know, and who
totally
show up in my relationship now and everything I've learned from that. So
yeah,
it's glorious.
That's such a beautiful one when you don't just realize it or understand it, but when it really lands and you're like, oh, I actually can feel nothing but gratitude for all my previous partners, whatever that might have looked like. And I mean, I've been super blessed with the people that I've related with in my life. And I know also that people get into relationships with like narcissists and abusive relationships. And so a lot of the people that I know, especially in the sort of healing community, also have like almost more gratitude for those experiences that they've had, even though they were the hardest, most spirit crushing relationships. They've grown through them in ways that they couldn't have done on their own if they'd somehow avoided that connection and that time together. So whatever the relationship looks like, however it unfolded, I think the most important thing is to acknowledge that, like you say, it's like a divine refinement,
mm-hmm,
of who we are in the most shiny mirror of relationship. And looking back at my more recent previous relationships, certainly I can see very clearly where that which I've learned from my one partner has carried across into the next relationship, so that I can actually serve the relationship more and serve my partner more based upon everything that I've, all the lessons I've been blessed with from the previous one. So, and that's true now for me more than it has ever been, as I come into a new relationship, which we actually spoke about when we were doing our coaching work together. You're like, what do you really want? Because there was part of me that was like, oh, do I want to be in polyamorous relationships or just be open or just be free? And yeah, part of me definitely wanted that. But deep down, when I really uncovered what my soul wanted, it's union. It's to go the long run with someone, because that's the only way to go deep, deep.
Mm-hmm.
It's over a longer period of time when you're really committed to that. And so I was like, had to really face my ego desires of like being with multiple women, or just having this like sort of juvenile, I suppose, for me anyway, like a juvenile aspect of my consciousness that wasn't actually fully ready to commit yet. Mm-hmm. And so as we uncovered that and did some bits and pieces to call in my divine union, dude, it happened so quickly.
As it does.
What the fuck?
Yeah. It's astounding, right? The inner work and the clearing just allows space for what your heart ultimately desires.
Mm-hmm.
You know? But it requires that clearing and that letting go of what we're holding. I see it as like, you know, we have these grips on these things that we hold pretty tightly or want to control, or and then when you look into nature and you see, you know, I love the example of the apple tree, you know, it's like these trees just produce apples They don't care who thinks they're sour, who thinks they're, you know, how many likes they get, or if they don't like the best apples ever since apple pie, or if they suck. And every fall, they let go of all of their apples, all their leaves, and just, you know, knowing that that allows them to grow deeper roots, taller branches, and then even more beautiful apples and leaves, you know.
And the family grows.
Right. But we as humans, boy, it is, it's tough sometimes to let go. And so when we loosen that grip and we get to take a look at some of those internal blocks and we choose to resolve those, then it creates space for what we ultimately want to come in. And it can happen really fast.
Yep. Real fast. Exciting. Yeah. Kind of uncomfortably fast, actually, in a lot of ways. Yeah, but it's also such a always such a beautiful reflection, whoever we find ourselves relating with, and not just in relationship, but also in friendships and any kind of, I mean, we're relating with reality, I suppose. So the reality that we're relating with and how we feel about whether it's serving us or not is a reflection always of how we relate with ourselves. And so as I began to understand how I can relate with myself better and really got into that flow, then I didn't need anyone. I got to that place where I was like, if I meet someone, I meet someone. If not, like I've got such a beautiful community and I feel like I'm on my Dharma path. I'm feeling very content. Like there wasn't a hole that needed filling.
Right.
And that vibration of like abundance, I suppose, not having a lack around like, oh, I need something to fill this hole, was met with my new partner's same vibration, where she was like, I also don't need you, like I don't need anyone else, like in terms of relating like that. And so what a beautiful foundation to build a connection from, and it just felt so instantaneously right in ways that are completely beyond my capacity to bring language to, or even for my mind to really fathom, in ways that, like, it was almost an instant healing was taking place in each other's presence and has continued to over this last few weeks. So, and man, when we're together, like, the magic is unfolding all around me most of the time anyway. Like, I know it's very clear, like this, especially with numerology, I just find like angel numbers just popping up all over the place and connecting with the lyrics on the song on the radio and just all these little synchronistic moments that put me in this state of like, I'm almost drooling at the magnificence of the mystery. But when we're together, it's like that times 10 and we're magnetic together. It's really incredible.
In flow motion. Yeah. And just like two batteries, you bring them together, it's not just double the energy, you know, it's triple, quadruple, you know, 10 times the energetic sometimes. And so it's really exciting when two sovereign individuals that have been doing this inner work and released some of the stories and the, you know, fears of commitment and needing approval and validation externally can come together as two sovereign individuals and choose one another. You know, it's really powerful. It's such a healthy place and a great foundation to build upon, because we've experienced the contrast, I'm sure. And a lot of people, you know, might still be in that of the codependency issues of like needing this person to complete an aspect of me, or, you know, feeling like life would be over if they left, or, you know, the abandonment wounds come up and all these things. And so these codependency issues is the opposite of showing up in sovereignty and choosing one another.
Yeah. How do you define codependency? Like,
yeah,
it's used a lot, that phrase.
Right. Yeah. It's a great question. Cause it's like, you depend on this person to fulfill some aspect of your needs, of your wants, of your validation. It could be a number of things, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you're depending on them for that fulfillment.
Right.
So it's not self-sourced. And going into any relationship like that is going to lead to some storms.
Right.
We did some powerful initiations, and that's okay too. But there, you know, as I said, the divine refinement, you have the opportunity to take a look at those anywhere that there are those codependency issues. And this is the type of work we get to do, you know, that as you release that, it's just beautiful, you know, the type of healthy foundation that you can co-create as a relationship forms with that just sovereignty, you know, like still 4-5 years now into my relationship with my queen, and we still get to, you know, come to these places. This is our choice, you know, and we can stand in the fire when it's hot and ferocious and things get, you know, we're in the storms, or we can choose to, you know, opt out and go separate paths, right? And take a look at that pathway. And every time I do, I tune into the feeling, and it doesn't feel like the highest path, you know? Mm. So instead it's like standing in this fire. Like,
and it's okay to tune into that.
Yeah, exactly. And that's recognizing that it's a choice instead of feeling just stuck.
Right.
You know, like, oh, you know, we're, yeah, it's our relationship is tumultuous, but I can't get out of it type of feeling, right? Like, I actually have a deep knowing that if we did choose that, that both of us would be just fine eventually. And so would our girls, you know, but that's not the most exciting path. That's not the highest, you know, the funk yes path, I call it.
Mm-hmm.
And that path involves sitting in the fire, like sitting in the triggers, you know, this. And what's interesting is that, you know, you can probably recognize from past relationships how when things get hot or volatile, you know, I can share my Charles 1.0 would be like, nope, I don't have to deal with this. I'm out. Right. And I would get space. And that's like a unhealthy version of the sixth love language that not a lot of people know about. We can come back to that too. Space, distance. Right. And so, that was my way of coping with those type of conflicts and those challenges was to create space from it. And so now it's amazing to be able to like step into that fire and actually see what's here from, you know, if my cup's full, then I can do it from a space of just like being the rock and holding sacred space and not needing to take things as personally and witnessing and understanding, you know, where my partner's at and what she's going through. And then we can take turns with that. And so what's fascinating about that is that if we run from it and choose that, oh, I'm out of here, then guess what? That will come up in your next relationship.
Yes.
Because no matter where you go, there you are.
And confirm.
And so, yeah, choose wisely who you choose to gain these lessons and blessings from. Mm-hmm. And if you can go to new depths and new places of uncomfortable feelings to experience and know thyself on a deeper mm-hmm. level.
Beautiful. Yeah, thank you for sharing that. It's so beautiful to hear experiences from people who have been on such a transformational journey and to find themselves in a union with three beautiful girls, just living in your version of heaven on earth, and to know that like it, that Charles Clay, as he is now, it's not just, you've not just been that person the whole time. You've also been through the fire. You've also been through a couple of relationships and had them refine you. And I think as you were saying that, what I was thinking was like, there was a part of me that didn't want to get into a new relationship just yet, because I hadn't done enough refining on myself. And so that's why this one kind of came out of the blue, because I wasn't exactly calling anyone in. I had specifically, and I'd need to actually check in with how powerful the words are that I write in my journal. Because as I told you, a couple of weeks before I met her, I'd written in my journal, I'm not closed off to meeting the person that I'm supposed to be spending the rest of my life with. And that was enough for the universe to be like, bring her in, let's go.
And just to remind, you had done some really potent and powerful clearing work.
True.
You know,
yeah,
internally on those blocks, yeah. Some of the, if you're open to sharing about it, you know, some of
yeah,
the,
definitely.
The commitment issues.
Mm-hmm.
You
yeah
know, because yeah. And you know, some of the like worthiness and those aspects will,
mm-hmm.
those can be the internal blocks that keep the distance from what you ultimately
yeah.
want
until yeah, definitely
they get to take a look at those and do some, bring some resolution there, and then
yeah.
things can fall into place beautifully, you know?
Yeah, we definitely did a bit of that work, quite a lot of that work. And really it was a continuation of the similar sort of work that I've been doing over the last sort of 4 or 5 years actually. And yeah, I suppose I just wanted to round that little piece off by saying, I think a lot of people that are listening to this or watching this are in the work, like doing this internal work and this self-discovery work and maybe on a spiritual path and wanting to be sharing the path and sharing the journey with someone. And it's, I just want to say, I don't think it's correct to think that you're going to get to the perfect version of yourself and then once you get into the relationship there won't be any work. It's like you can get to this a space where you don't need a relationship, but then I've found in my experience that once we get into a relationship with someone, it's like there are non-negotiables for me. It's like, how's spiritual connection, like interest in spirituality, interest in doing the healing work, willing to stand in the fire, and loves the ocean and mountains and is gorgeous, and all my non-negotiables. But it's once we actually got into the relationship, because we've both done a certain amount of work, and certainly for her, she was calling in a relationship that was much more safe to be in. And once that safety was created and that container of safety was created, that's when those parts of us that before it hadn't been safe for them to come up and be loved and looked at and nurtured. And so in the safe new created relationship container, then the shit comes up. And that's actually a good indicator that it's a safe space to move through this stuff. So if previous Ben, also similar to you, would have been like, I don't need any of this shit on my plate right now, I've got plenty of stuff to deal with, like would have like said, okay, well, this means you can't be the one. But actually now I'm willing to like stand in that fire and bear witness to and be involved in a process of healing the bits and pieces that can actually only come up in relationship.
Yep, absolutely. Divine mirrors. I couldn't agree more. And it, this kind of ties in the full circle of the example I was giving, because my queen recently gave me one of the sweetest compliments, you know, about that, about safety, and just that, because we've been just getting thrown some of life's most intense curveballs lately, and they usually come like more than one at a time, and it has been comical at times, and it has brought out, you know, a lot of like deep Kali energy for her, and like some deep like past lifetime, you know, aggression, anger that has, you know, risen to be healed. And so to witness that expression in its fullest and to be able to lean into that and say, yes, show me more of this.
Yeah.
You know, it's like a total pattern disrupt. And it was also like after those types of experiences that lead to even deeper intimacy and deeper connection, and thus even greater pleasure and connection to source for us. She shared with me that, you know, when I say things I don't mean, or when I'm just fierce in that Kali energy, like it's actually a compliment that I express that to you and not anyone else, because it's, you create a safe space for me to fully express myself. And it was just, whoa, like, oh, that's,
yo, I feel that.
Yeah.
Mm.
It's, you know, just fully receive. I'm still receiving that.
Yeah. I can feel that. And what a, completely different paradigm to previously, where because previously I hadn't met those parts of myself, when I meet them in someone else, I couldn't maintain presence and maintain my heart opening.
Right.
Because I didn't also used to be able to differentiate the Kali energy from my own. And actually, I think what I'm trying to say is that if the person I'm in a relationship with has that fierce, fiery Kali energy coming up, and there's just like daggers going, and you're like, in those moments, it's really easy to take it super personally. And maybe even it was something that I did that triggered the whole thing. But to not take all of it on, because I used to take all of it on, feel all of it, then feel guilt for making my partner feel that way. And then a part of me was like, see, this is why I can't be in relationship, because you're better off without me, because this is what comes up. But actually, it was the opposite. Like, it's a compliment to receive that fierceness. It's like I don't want to speak to subjects that are not like super versed on, but am I right in saying that's like the dark feminine?
Yeah.
As opposed to like all the love, light, and there's this whole other yin or yang to the yin of the feminine, which is like this potent, powerful, dark feminine. And once that's like, in my experience, coming online in a safe way, that can bring all sorts of beautiful aspects to the relationship as well.
And it's a testament to the safe space that you hold and create.
Like, my woman is also a warrior.
Yeah.
Like, I absolutely can go to battle with this woman.
She's that kind all of energy. She's all of it. Warrior, you know, you see that when it comes to motherhood, you know, like just what it takes to bring life into this world. I have just risen and risen and risen in love with my queen, just witnessing like all it takes for her and her body to even bring life into this world. It brings up everything. Like,
I can only imagine.
Full spectrum of emotions, initiations, like all the things. And you mentioned that warrior essence, you know, I got to see like that part of her just come out so beautifully and so powerfully in birth. And then as a mother, like the fierce protector, you know.
Mm.
And it's sexy. I actually am so impressed, like her body too, somehow every time she gives birth and has another baby, it's like she keeps getting more and more sexy. Like her body just, I don't know if it's this biological aspect that's encouraging us to keep having kids, but it is pretty amazing, you know, because we've heard the story of the opposite. And I'm like, oh, and women take that on too. They're like, oh, I've had babies, so now like my body's aging and not as tight, or all these, you know.
You think that's just like a collective story that we've subscribed to and that we can unsubscribe?
Totally.
Like most things.
And I'm happy to like present my wife as an example of the opposite of that in my relationship with her, and that she just keeps getting sexier every child that she bears. And so I've been really impressed and happy to upgrade that old story. You know,
love that. What a blessing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's been profound. And yeah, so, you know, with your journey, it's amazing because there's so many aspects to calling in your partner, your queen, your soulmate, whatever that resonates for you. And then it's like this exciting, you know, feelings that you can't even describe, right? Because love is the ultimate hormone and drug that got us here in the first place. You know, you think about all of our ancestors and lineages, mm-hmm. that all the love making that happened for us to be right here right now.
That's pretty powerful.
But yeah, if you just take that in for a moment, like that's what got us here. That love, right?
Yeah.
And
it's when you feel it, you're like, oh, now I know how every single one of my ancestors since the dawn of time has managed to reproduce. It's this like deep life force, creative energy that creates, like you say, often that creates worlds.
Yeah. Yeah. It's powerful. And when we open up to it and we clear space for that and resolve the resistance we've been holding, that's the same energy that creates planets that can flow to and through us. And that's when you're just in like that flow motion and, you know, connected to everyone and everything. And you just feel the oneness and you know, can reach new states of bliss and samadhi. And it's such a treat to get to do that with a partner and divine union.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's how we touch God, source, you know, connect yeah. through pleasure. Because I just feel like this deep sense of home outside of these bodies, remembering what it's like in energetic form, that there isn't this resistance and this like 3D debris and heaviness and contrast that we experience here on the mothership Earth.
Yeah.
You know, and so what a blessing to all be choosing as souls to be here now in Contrastville. So where it's the ultimate university for learning and growing, because we can experience pain and pleasure and the darkest aspects, you know, and the lightest light, right? And everything in between, you know, it's we came here for it all. And so to deny any of that would be like missing out on the full experience.
It feels like the chaotic, messy humanness of our experience is actually what the soul thrives on. You know, it's like even in like the chaos of falling in love and the chaos that can ensue around, and certainly in my recent experience, like in a community, it can rock this kind of stuff can rock communities. And that was also some beautiful medicine for me as well, as I was blindsided by this experience of love like never before. I suppose we can never, if we're really true to ourselves and following what our heart is in most alignment with and is expanding our heart in the biggest ways, then sometimes I know I can speak from my own experience, I just get lost in that feeling. And because I've gone from in that contrast, feeling like the pain of separation, of being an individuated, non-connected entity, to like thrown back into remembrance of this, oh, everything is connected and that we are all unified. And the feeling, like you say, of coming home to that is like such medicine that it makes everything make sense in a way that's not, you can't even really explain it. It just, the whole nervous system is like, okay, yeah, I'm exactly where I'm supposed to be. And that's such a big relief in so many ways and so healing. And people talk about the honeymoon phase. You've been with your queen for 5 years. Is that real? Does it end, or can you continue that honeymoon phase?
Yeah. There's seasons to life, right? And so to have expectations that, you know, the lovemaking is always going to be elevated and always the best ever, and just like in the honeymoon phase, is that's might be an expectation that can be broken pretty easily, you know. Yes. But if you enjoy and zoom out, noticing that like there's seasons to everything. So like, even though some seasons were, you know, so wrapped up in business and balancing the kids and making sure they get enough attention through these important developmental stages, that like the lovemaking kind of goes lower on the priority list, or it becomes like a 007 Mission Impossible style, like
quite a fun theatrical.
Yeah, which is, you know, and so there's like different seasons and it's ever changing. And so you know, there's almost like it'll feel like a drought, you know, or you know, where there's like, yeah, we're not getting that same nurturing that we're used to in that way, in that connection, that intimacy, and that love. And so then it's like, cool, we get to choose to fill that bucket more. And then we'll plan an epic date night. You know, I just took her out to this, Gatsby mansion party.
And yeah, I saw on your stories.
Totally different crowd than our normal, usual crowd and community, which I really liked. It brought this like really cool novelty and allowed us to like connect deeper instead of, you know, having to meet everybody and drop in with everyone. It was more like, no, let's like go from room to room and, you know, experience dropping in new ways. And it was just so nourishing for both of us. And we're like, man, we definitely want to keep this higher on the priority list again, and allow for just the two of us to connect in that way more. It was so rich. And so that is a realignment and a choice that we get to make to allow for that to be nourished, the union between the two of us with everything that else we're holding, you know? Yeah. And so
sounds like your inner teenagers came out to the party and had a fun time.
Yeah, together. It was great. You know, and it's fun that like the inner teenagers get to play together, and even like our younger inner children, you know, are just getting better at like playing in the sandbox together.
Yeah.
You know, even through all the stuff that comes up. And so that really nourishes my soul and just feel like even a deeper connection with her through those trials and tribulations and the seasons where it isn't like meeting the expectations of the honeymoon phase, right?
Yeah.
But what's cool is that through, if you make it through the fires, if you learn something, gain the lessons and blessings from the challenges that you both go through, or the, you know, distance that you feel from one another, then you can come back together. It's like the polarity can recharge the battery in a new way that allows like even new levels of just pleasure and ecstatic states that are much even richer than the honeymoon phase, in my opinion.
And then do you have gratitude for the cycle that you've been in, where it's like a slight new busyness or and something else that I was going to ask you about? There is this masculine feminine energetic dance in the polarity of men and women in union like this, that's really important, I think, in the longevity of a relationship, to have a good solid understanding of how that works. And a lot of the time the fundamentals of that is like, oh, the masculine takes the lead. Whoever the masculine is in the relationship takes the lead. And then I saw a reframe of that recently where it's like, yes and no. They're taking the lead. It seems like they're taking the lead, but the feminine's actually setting the frequency of the direction that they want to go in. And so it kind of, it's like you're taking the lead, but you're being led in a certain way by like more subtle forces. Is that how it plays out for you?
Yeah, you know, it brings up a great question and inquiry around the dynamics of the dance of masculine and feminine within ourselves, right? Because this is some of the work that you and I did to get to know those parts more and recognize like when we're out of balance, and that's okay too, right? It's like when the masculine, you know, is going full bore, full throttle, and it's all about output and it's business and
progress,
going out the things, and I got to go chase all these goals and make it happen, right? Yeah. Like that's when the body is so intelligent, it will start giving you, you know, little aches, pains, injuries, tightness on the right side. Like all these things will start showing up, maybe knee issues, right? That represents ego and pride, the metaphysics. And it's really cool when you can understand these messages from your body. And that's a lot of the, you know, brilliance of the work that we get to do.
You can like hear yourself on a deeper level.
Mm-hmm. And then you can honor that and be like, oh yes, I need a little bit more me time and just yin time and get to do some healthy celebrations and rewards that are on the relaxation restorative aspect of the, you know, the spectrum. And by doing that, it's like, because there's so many doers, I think, that can relate to this, that the moment you finally give yourself permission to just be in your feminine, more, if that in that example, then all of a sudden you're taking an Epsom salt bath and you're like letting yourself fully relax and downshift, you know, yeah. and letting your nervous system calm. And then boom, like the ideal will drop. All right. Like the next, oh, this is what I need to do in my business. This is like how, what I want to share. Right. Yeah. That's the genius of your feminine receptivity, opening your receptivity to connection and receiving, just being right. Mm-hmm. It's like you're on a walk in nature. You're walking, your left and right hemisphere of your brain are reconnecting because you're in that contralateral motion. Right. So that's when a lot of times when the ideas land or in the shower. Right. And so when you're in receptive mode like that, and then the idea lands, then it's past the baton to the masculine side. That's not the time to sit in meditation for another 2 hours in the feminine. Right. It's like, cool, we got it. Yeah. Let the masculine within you take action, bring that into the world. Right. And then let the dance begin again. And so the better we get at that energetic within ourselves, then it's beautiful to witness the people you attract and your partners that you attract that are also doing that work and have found that balance within themselves. And so then it can be both. It can be a dance of the two. You know, there's times when I'm orchestrating, you know, a cool date night, like that example, or there's times when I take them on a spontaneous hike and I'll let my girls go first on the trail. And I'm still in my masculine. I'm letting them lead the trail, but I'm holding it down in the back, right? Mm-hmm. So give them like this exploration, but they're also protected and, you know, I can witness them more when I'm behind them, right? So yeah, it's a dance, you know?
Sounds it's so beautiful.
Not just one or the other. And so the better you get at that dance with your own energetics, then the more you can bring that into your relationships.
Mm. Yeah, as you were saying that, something that came up for me was like the feeling like the mind being the direction taking, action oriented, figure it out, cut it up so we can measure it and understand it, and which is all super important, and almost like a scientifically based understanding of how the world works by reducing it to an understandable whatever. And that's super necessary and needed to bring structure to actually get shit done. And then the feminine aspect of it. So as you were saying, like take an Epsom salts bath, or for me, it's like go lay out in the sun. And then I get really into receptive mode to receive everything that I need from the sunlight. And would you say that like because there's always this dichotomy of like mind and heart. Would you say the mind is like more masculine and the heart is more feminine? And so as we create actually, which is a masculine thing, to create the container for ourselves to drop into the feminine, we're thinking about less, and the heart within our energy expands out to almost like have a wider catchment area for the whatever idea wants to come in and be manifested through us. And that feels like to me in my sort of somatic experience like an excitement that like butterflies in the stomach and then a big expansion of my heart space. And so I think a lot of people, this is what a lot of people want in terms of feeling when they're disconnected from their heart and they're disconnected from their intuition. It's like, how do you know what that actually feels like? And which is a great question, because I didn't know what that used to feel like. I kind of had an idea of like when I got really excited about an idea, but I would kind of like blah, 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 with the energy everywhere and I'd dance around the room and just distribute the energy because it felt like too much for me to do anything with it. Or I'd like distribute it by talking about it too much and just get rid of it. This is also something now that I've also started like coaching and guiding people, the biggest thing that people want is to say like, how do I reconnect with my intuition? And that's really like creating that container to get into a receptive mode, connect down into the heart so that the feminine again can set the frequency and actually do the initiating or the receiving of the idea. And then the mind then goes ahead and creates and initiates that action. And so am I right in if I'm like testing myself about what I've learned through our coaching that we've done together, but the sometimes we have, and the kind of the clearing work that you were talking about doing earlier is the layers of sort of emotional, what's the word, samskaras, like the imprints from things that have happened. And it's like you kind of have to work through those layers to actually open up the connection between this and this, so that you actually have a direct, like a much more turned up volume on the phone call between the mind and the heart. Is that, that's also absolutely what we were doing, I suppose, when we were working together.
Absolutely. And the, you know, when the mind is a master, it is a terrible master. It is like, you know, it's like the, if you want to use that analogy, it's kind of like the, you know, you want to hold space and take care of your partner while she's going through something, right? But as soon as you know the answer in the mind, you're like, oh, I can fix it. Here's the problem. I got the answer. And what's funny about that's how like men typically operate in the mind space, but that's not what she wants, right? She wants to be experienced and seen in her emotions and in her experience and feel like she's heard mm-hmm. and safe in that, right? And so so it's like, that would just be one example in relationship. But the beauty is that if we're spending so much awareness in here and letting that run the show, it is programmed throughout our lineages, throughout history, to find negativity, right? It's like looking for the conflict in the movie.
Does it want to be useful that?
Yeah, it's like it's Problemville, right? Yeah. So the mind will be Problemville. It's a default programming, right? That we all kind of integrate. And when you drop from that space 12 inches, you know, and a lot of the work that we do is tools to dropping into that heart space where energetically they've even measured this. And we used to think, oh, the mind, I think, therefore I am. So it gave this, you know, huge, like the mind is where everything's going on. You know, it's an interconnectedness of all of it, but energetically they've measured this in science, and the heart actually has 5,000 times more bioelectrical magnetism, right? Energy going out from the heart than the mind does. And so that means that's where we're connecting from, is the heart energetically, right? So when we go from Problemville in the mind, take that 12-inch elevator ride into our heart space, into that, you know, unconditional loving space, that where we feel, where we can tune into the what's real, the truth, the desires, that, and what's really cool about that space is that you can actually, with a little imagination, you can experience your heart's greatest desires already fulfilled in real time.
Wow. Yeah.
That's what we did with the visioneering. And that's where you don't need to be this all masculine chasing everything, trying to get these goals and get to the top of the mountain. And then where's the next mountain, mm-hmm. right? It's actually, you become a lighthouse that you already are and magnetize because your cells are becoming conditioned. And remember, every time that you feel those aspects of your big vision or your goal already, you're trying to get the feeling, right? Mm-hmm. Of what it's like to be in a Lamborghini driving that, or the perfect house, or the amazing partner, all those things that we go out chasing for masculine. If you just attune to the feelings and the sensations of it with a little imagination, your subconscious doesn't know the difference between imagination and reality. And so it's normalizing it for your whole system and your cells. And then you attract what you are. Right. So then you'll notice all these little puzzle pieces and synchronicities and cool people, places, and things that fall into place for that to allow that to happen for you. Mm-hmm. And so it's like attracting and magnetizing it instead of needing to just be all masculine going out and getting it. And so mm-hmm. when you get good at that dance, then you can spend a lot more awareness in the heart space where you can connect, you know, this is where there's win-win-win scenarios. It's always in the greatest and highest good for all. That's mm-hmm. how you can tell if you're in the mind space, it's like, what's in it for me? How's this going to work out? How are we going to solve this problem? You know, mm-hmm. overanalyze things. And then you drop into the heart space. It's like, wow, look at everything I have to give. Mm-hmm. Like what a different operating system, right? And so the beauty is when you get good at that, operating in your heart space more, then you connect the mind in heart coherence, and the mind becomes the most brilliant instrument of the heart, you know, and that's when you're in that beautiful dance and flow of the masculine and feminine within yourself, and you can take action when it's inspired, you know.
So beautifully put.
Yeah. And then that is exciting to witness how that shows up in your relationships, because then, you know, the dance even gets more exciting in your relationships, you know, and these things can get out of balance, and they will, you know, and so not beating ourselves up about that, but having some powerful tools and ways to drop back into the heart space, the intelligence in each and every cell, and the same energy creates planets that's flowing through us, how to connect with that. And that's what you're speaking to with the, you know, intuition. Yeah. And the more you practice that, and it's actually something that people can start right now, you know, just noticing everyone, it shows up differently. Like for me and you, I think it's more of a feeling, right? A somatic experience of like expansion. Like, it's like, oh, you know, this tingling juiciness that expands from my heart and body out when it's the intuitive yes, right? Mm-hmm. And then it's more constrictive, you know, if I get an invitation or a, you know, an opportunity, and I tune in and it's a little bit more constrictive when I look down that portal of opportunity, picture myself in it, does it feel like the highest, you know, or is it more of a contraction aspect, right? So that's paying attention to my intuition. And the more we honor that, the more you feel that funk yes, and you take that inspired action, you've just said yes to your soul. That is the connection to your soul. That is improving that connection every time you say yes and take that action. And so what's cool is that that's how you can develop that even more and improve it. And I love the saying, I wish I knew who shared this, but it was, you know, when we pray, we're speaking to God. And when we're listening to our intuition, that's God speaking to us.
I love that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel so grateful for being such a big feeler now. Like, and I fall out of love with that one every now and then, where I'm like, because I just seem to get more and more sensitive. And I suppose I'm asking for it literally because I want to have a deeper connection with myself and with my intuition and my subtle bodies. And so, but then every now and then I'm like, dude, why do I have to feel everything so deeply and so big? And then I realize in the bliss of the aftermath of whatever it is that I've like had a big cry about, like the other day, my brother Henry is in Canada on his missions for like a year, and he's like my bestie. And I miss him so much because he was such a massive bridge for me into this heaven on earth vibration at times, that we've just got this deep soul connection. And I had a very vivid dream of missing him, and we were on FaceTime, and he was like showing me on FaceTime in my dream heaven on earth, and he's like doing a big hike in Canada. And I woke up crying as well, and just allowed myself to like feel this deep grief, and it kind of like opened a doorway into something else that needed to be felt. And so my mind tried to make a story of it, and then I was like, wow, how am I gonna actually navigate life when I feel things, all of these things, so deeply? And I suppose that comes back, I suppose, to my own relationship to my masculine and feminine internal dynamics that are happening for me, where the feminine energy that's moving through in that emotional expression is feeling safe to do so because my masculine is holding that container as well. And the clarity that I feel after an emotional experience like that, it feels like I've got a direct line to my intuition, a direct line to like listening to what's needed. And the tears seem to like clear away all the shit that doesn't really matter and make it very clear like what's next. So that then I'm like, okay, now I remember I'm actually really grateful to be such a deep feeler. And yeah, I think that's all I wanted to say on that piece. But
yeah, and even to resist that, right? The opposite would be to not let yourself feel that, what's present, what's coming up. And that is how when we resist, it just persists and it becomes issues in our tissues and shows up as aches, pains, injuries. The intelligence, your body will highlight it like a check engine light as to like, hey, this is what you were resisting and wants to be, needs attention and would like to be resolved. And that means that there's a treasure chest of lessons and blessings in it. Right. Yeah. So there's no wrong way to do it, but yeah, like you, you know, a feeler used to consider, you know, myself an empath. Now I choose compassion over empathy any day. Mm-hmm. We discuss some of that in our work too. It may be useful to share a little bit of that, but,
definitely,
you know, imagine for those that are familiar with the chakra systems, you know, there's your second chakra is just so much going on there, you know, in your sacral chakra. It's like the, you know, creative womb. It's the emotional capacity and sexual energy all going on there. And so the common empath, and I used to make this mistake too, especially as I started my healing practice, was like, man, that chakra was wide open. It was like creating all these energetic connections and cords there, and just would like, you know, on my high flying disc, someone come in or someone I care about or family that is in a low vibration and they're going through something. And the normal empath practice would be like, come down to their level and let them know they're not alone and that you're going to help them through this. And, you know, just like, it's like, then it becomes like crabs in a pot. You know, it's like one crab's about to get out and be free. And the others are like, no, the misery loves company. Come back down here. And so that's where a lot of that subtle energy can be corded. And it's like, we almost heroically want to take someone's pain for them and process it for them. That's actually not doing either party any favors. That's for them to feel and heal and gain those lessons from. And so when we try to do that, I remember leaving sessions and just being like having like stomach aches or just my energy would just be drained. And so we think it's this heroic, valiant thing to do to try to help others through their pain. But there's another way. You know, if you choose compassion and you stay on your high flying disc of this like high vibration that you're at, and you see them and witness them in it, create a safe space for them to feel and experience whatever they need to. And you're just closing down third chakra, right? Only to like 15-20% and then opening heart chakra, fourth chakra, just beaming them with compassion. Then less words need to be said. They're usually feeling safe enough to have their experience and feel what needs to be felt and be witnessed in that. And through that, right after good tears comes great clarity. And so they might receive their own insights, their own answers, right? And which is so much more profound and potent than if I were to just give the answer, right? Like, oh, here's what you need to do. No, like this, if it comes from them, it really lands. And then they can take that inspired action. They gain those lessons and then they rise and meet you at that high vibrational state again with this new wisdom, deeper understanding of self. And it's just such a more powerful way of holding sacred space. And instead of succumbing to the old kind of like badge of empath that we somewhere. And so that's a lot of the subtle energy body work that I teach and that you got to experience and having some tools for those is like profound. You know, you're like Batman with the whole utility belt of self-healing tools now.
Yeah. And it's making such a big difference. And as you were saying that, I was a memory dropped in of the last time I was with Sacred Sons doing a men's retreat with them. And it was a 4-day retreat and it was in Devon and it was freezing cold and it was one of the most impactful and beautiful 4 days of my life for sure. But by the end, I was completely done. I was completely drained. And I realized, and it took me a week to recover from it. I got sick. And I realized after that, a few weeks later, actually, that I'd just been taking everybody else's work on board, but not just someone, a friend coming with that needs space held, we're talking about like deep healing that's happening at these in these spaces. And so it really took a lot of grounding and cleansing of my own physical and energetic bodies to actually come fully back into being myself. And I thought, I can't do that and actually show up fully in those spaces. And I'm not actually doing anybody that much of a service if I'm just feeling everybody else's stuff. So I've been practicing to stay up in my heart space when I can feel, because I can still feel when someone else is like coming into a lower density that they need to go down into to feel and alchemize and be with that. And I've noticed like, oh, that's not mine. And so I can breathe and maintain awareness here and keep the energy up here. And I don't, even as I say that, probably people are like, yeah, but how do you do that? I'm like, I don't really know. Mm-hmm. I don't really know. I just kind of try and do it and use my imagination also to like keep the energy up here. And yeah, actually the what I do is actually imagine that there is a something that is not Benjamin, that I'm just a vessel for, that is an energetic sort of golden or like sometimes like a white light or something that just kind of creates like a bubble around. And then I actually get energy from it. So if I'm to deploy this tactic at another men's work retreat, for example, I should come away by the end of the weekend actually feeling just as energized as when I went in, and having said less and achieved more, I suppose, in terms of the role that I'm supposed to be playing there as the lighthouse. And I'm really excited to actually have awareness of this now, because yeah, it makes my work so much more energizing when I'm on calls with people. I know that it doesn't matter if they're in Australia. The Reiki energy that I'm working with transcends geographical distance easily. Even when we're on a call together, I can feel you. And so that naturally brings stuff up for people. And that's a big part of the work that both of us do, I suppose, is like allow people the space with the love that's not even us pouring through, that illuminates the thing and brings it up to the surface to be loved. And already in the last four or five calls that I've had, when that's happened and I've stayed here and it's gotten bigger and bigger and bigger and more and more, and I don't even know what to do with it. I just sit there witnessing it and feeling it. And it's so much more healing. And that's all really I want to do for people and be for people, is just a healing presence. And I don't say anything a lot of the time. Right. It's amazing. Yeah. So thank you for sharing that.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think for people kind of early on this journey, you know, that was my night and day results, was after using these tools, going from like getting stomach aches, feeling fatigued, and like getting sick after certain sessions that I was taking on energy. Now it's like, I feel freaking full sovereignty, you know, and mm-hmm. feel like my cup filled and excited after sessions, you know, even doing like the deepest, darkest work. And so what a game changer that is to have mm-hmm. those valuable tools. And the first place to start is getting to know your own sovereign chi, you know. And I call it sovereign chi because it's like filling up with your own life force energy so mm-hmm. much in each and every cell that there's no room for anything else. And this becomes like your home base, your healing sanctuary, and you can expand that out into your aura. And so, you know, I give people an experience of that even on the free gift on my website, you know, charlesclay.coach. Go to the bottom, subscribe. The first thing you get is a practice with movement, breathwork, and meditation that allows you to experience your home base, your sovereign chi, by clearing some of those, the debris, 3D debris in some of those first three energetic centers. And so it's profound, because once you know that home base within yourself deeply, like your soul is fully embodied in your own, you know, body, then you can sense when you're taking other people's energy on, or vice versa, or And then it's so much easier to use these tools and the subtleties of energetics to come back to that sovereign chi place. So it's a great first place to start with this, if those that aren't too familiar with it. And then from there, you can recognize like, oh yeah, I was taking on someone's energy. That's not really mine. And then having some powerful tools to one, come back to sovereign chi, and two, how to navigate those waters and be in a space of compassion instead of, you know, being the empath that's just taking on everyone's, you know. So
yeah, I feel that also in somewhere else, another aspect of life, that's really helped. I mean, it helps with everything. Just sovereign chi, as you say, is like just feeling like I'm the captain of my ship. And I'm not so easily influenced by external energies. And I think as people who consider themselves to be empaths, which are like, for me, in my experience of feeling other people's stuff, was around on the similar sort of topic of being a people pleaser, where I only experienced who I am through other people. And so I would tune in to other people's energies to check who I am through their experience of me. And so as I begin to flip the switch and have my experience of myself from the inside out rather than from the outside in, that's been a game changer in these spaces that we work in, but also in relationship, coming back to that. But also it's really helped me heal my social anxiety, because now I can walk into a room. And it happens naturally now, but as I walk through the threshold of a doorway, I usually take like a deep breath, and then I fill up the space with my energy. And that's felt by people, and I can feel it when other people do it too. And so then it doesn't matter like who's in the room, whether it's an ex or someone I had a falling out with or some crazy surprise like that, I'm not going to be influenced. I'm going to do the influencing. And it's so much more peaceful, so much more peaceful, because I used to have horrible social anxiety, just constantly checking in with everybody else's experience of me the whole time. And I was just up in my head and feeling anxious. And that's why I never used to remember people's names. I got very, don't actually have that many crystal clear memories from my childhood either, because like I was up in my head the whole time or dissociated out my body because everything was too much and it was like surviving. But to circle right back around to like how this is beautiful work to be doing as individuals so that we can bring this into our relationship as well. Two things that I want to touch on that I've learned is like doing this work as men with our brothers, like outside of relationship as well as in the relationship, so that it's not just all on the relationship to do this healing work for you and for me, and for of course our partners to be working with women and doing their women's work, so that we like doing that thing and then coming back together with our cups full and then sharing what we've learned, but less so through words and more so through embodiment and action of what we've learned. So it's just felt, you know, as something that Sacred Sons often talk about in the integration of these hugely transformative experiences. It's like, don't go and talk about it to your family, be about it, and they will know and they will feel, and there's no words necessary because you are just different now.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the only way to really change others anyway.
Yeah.
Is to just be more of yourself in that, you know, transformation, so that others can see that, be inspired by it, and then they might feel that they want to change as well. But to try to change your family members, that never works. You know, there's, you know, there's so much value in there for sure. Like that, you touched on a piece there that I wanted to hit on, but it'll come back to me. So that is really exciting when you come to know that feeling of sovereign chi, and then you go into your work, into your relationships, right? That you can always come back to this home base. Because there are a lot of tools, you know, that you learned as far as how to do the energetic clearing and cleaning, you know, it's like energetic hygiene, you know, practices.
It's such a thing.
It's huge. And so this is actually very honoring of others too. You know, it's like giving, it's like returning to sender any energy we've been taking on that's not ours, just gifting it back and taking back our energy and power and coming back to that space. It's very profound where, you know, creating from that space as opposed to like feeling parts of you, you know, that are outward that you've given away that you need to retrieve or that you're trying to fill those spaces with validation. That's what'll bring up like the people pleaser aspect, right? And you know, the need to make sure everybody's happy, right? Which is a impossible mission. It's like happiness is an inside job. So when you take care of your own, you might notice how that inspires others to do the same.
I want to just circle back onto the clearing thing, because I think it's a really, on the topic of relating, if there's people that, probably there are people listening to this being like, I really want to find my person. And what are these blockages? And I can't speak for anybody else, but certainly nobody that I've met or had a session with. But I think a common one is still being energetically connected to an ex or multiple exes. And that might be what's blocking from firstly your own personal transformation that's required to then be in alignment and a match for your next relationship. How do you have any advice for someone who might feel like they're still energetically tied to an ex? Like, and what might they go about doing in terms of releasing that to create the space for something new to come in?
Yeah, it's a great point. There's a whole beautiful, you know, process for clearing that energy. And, you know, there's like methods like cord cutting that people talk about, you know, have call in Archangel Michael and cut these cords. And, but if you think about energy, you know, cutting cords, just like in plants, you know, they have roots, right? So when we've been in relationships and with these people and these strong cords have been created, this, you know, quantum entanglement of energy, like these are deeply rooted. So it's like a process to be able to pull the entire cord from the root and return to sender is very honoring and can be, there's a practice for that. There's a practice for neutral separation. And that's, these are really good tools to have in your arsenal for basically making peace and with your past relationships, right? And those, it's okay to love them from afar, you know, and return their energy back to them and take back yours. And you're right, it's a very important part. It's another example of that, the things that we hold tightly with our grip, right? It's like, you know, I still love this person and I still want them to be in my life in this way, right? Well, take a good look at that, because the tighter that grip is and the more you're holding on to that, there's likely something, your heart's greatest desire that wants to come into your experience can't until you let go of that. And even if it does and you're still holding on to this, this becomes the baggage that you're bringing to that relationship.
Oof. Yeah, that resonates. And that really resonates, actually. Yeah. Blip.
Yeah. That one, that's like, hey, how much do you want to, baggage do you want to bring that you haven't processed yet? And to this new relationship, right? Is that honoring of them? And so there's ways to resolve that. And you've done a beautiful job of that with the work that we've done. And so it's just so beautiful to get to show up in new relationship with having done, you know, released the grip from those cords and called back your own sovereignty and center any energy that's not yours. Because then part of the process of like calling in your queen, you'd remember one of the steps I give is like, yes, get super clear on your non-negotiables and all the details, and the more clear the better, and allow yourself to experience her with you already, so that you just feel completely fulfilled in what it's like to touch and smell and feel. And that's huge. And also writing out and getting clear on everything that you have to offer, that you're,
that was big for me,
the relationship, That's usually one of those key ones that I've had so many people I've worked with that once they did that process, they did the clearing and they got super clear on what they're bringing to the table and bringing to the relationship and at, you know, as a king or as a queen, that is usually can accelerate things really fast.
Yeah. And it was such a great exercise also for, even if you're not calling in your king or queen, you'd just to increase self-confidence, like, which absolutely naturally is the most magnetic thing in relating anyway, is like self-confidence. Yeah. Like you don't, it's the healing and integration of my insecurities that actually helped bring my confidence up enough to even do an exercise like I'm going to list all my values. And actually I bring a lot of value to a relationship, and to then know that deeply and to then not settle either for something that's like a maybe or not a funk yes or like a green flags, you know. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's powerful. That's so it's definitely important that the cord, not cord cutting, and as you were saying, the, because you've explained this to me before, and I still use this practice, but the pulling of a plant gently, so all the roots come up, because if you just snap it off, it's going to regrow anyway. And I was thinking, it's actually not, I'm sure maybe some people in abusive relationships might disagree, but it's not a weed. It's actually like a rose bush. Like it's a beautiful rose bush. And sometimes you're like, why would I get rid of this beautiful rose bush? Especially as in my own experience, my previous relationship was so beautiful. And I actually, in the vision of the releasing of that cord, it was a rose bush. Like it was a beautiful rose bush. And to gently pull it up by the roots so that it could be replanted somewhere else really nicely. And that was the way of me not only honoring the love that we shared, but honoring the love that we still share that's evolved and actually expanded and deepened between us, but in a way that's now not expressed in a union in relationship like that. And it really allowed both of us to move into the next relationship. And it just works. It just works. Totally. I don't need to know how.
And as you do that energetic work, you know, if you then see in your experience all the things like, oh, I still have this piece of jewelry that was hers, or these things, right, in the material world that represent their energy, right? And and those too deserve mm-hmm. to be, you know, put back to their return to sender, right?
You know, that's so funny. If we've got time for a little story. So I wear a lot of rings, right? So on my pinky, I've got this one little ring. It's silver and it came in a pair, and the other one was gold. And it was a birthday present a year ago from Fran, my previous partner, and she wears gold and I wear silver. And so I'd wear the gold and the silver on the ring. The day that everything kind of exploded and with me and Leonie, my new beloved, I climbed out of my rooftop tent on my Land Rover. We were camping at a festival somewhere, and I grabbed all my clothes in my knickers, just like wandered down the ladder. And then all my rings that were in my pocket of my trousers fell out all over the floor. It sounded like Sonic the Hedgehog. It's like ting, 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 rings everywhere. And I scruffled around in the grass, and I found all of them except for the gold one, of course. And then I like was making coffee in my campsite, and I stepped on a bee. And it stung me on the bottom of my foot, on my heart, where my heart, like meridian is. Yeah. And then I was like, okay, at this stage, I'm like, okay, nothing is coincidental. Like something's going on here. And then everything unfolded. It was just such a beautifully poignant, poetic, beautifully romantic in my mind, unfolding of everything that was meant to happen. And I love all the way that the universe writes the story itself in a way, but to be available to notice those things rather than just thinking, oh fuck, I lost my favorite ring, you know. The energy was being released, and these were just little breadcrumbs along the way to notice that something significantly big is happening outside of the third dimension, And there's just a ring lost in the third dimension, but it means something much bigger in the bigger picture.
And we're the co-authors of this story with the universe. And so you get to create, make the meaning of that.
Mm-hmm.
And it was by mistake. It's like, how many coincidences does it take before you realize there's no coincidences? And it was right after that.
That day.
Yeah. Yeah.
Bananas.
Yeah. Yeah.
With a lot of cacao.
Yeah.
Do you have any advice for anybody who's single and really wanting to be in partnership?
Yeah. I mean, I think a lot of people can relate to heartbreak. So if you're still in that place, you know, or healing from a heartbreak from a previous relationship, I think it's important to remember that, you know, it's not our hearts that are broken, it's our expectations. And by breaking our expectations, it brings us closer to our hearts. And so those of you that resonate with this, that feel like you're all alone in the illusion of isolation and feel like, you know, that there's no hope or these challenges you have to take on yourself, just remember we're all in this together. And so have the courage to reach out to who you intuitively feel called to. You'll know, you'll get those hits, take that inspired action, and watch what unfolds for you when you reach out for support and have that courage. It's profound.
You deserve it. You deserve the support. Do you feel complete?
Yeah, this has been a lot of fun.
Yeah, I've had a great time. Thank you. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Thank you, Charles, for being here. How can people find you?
Yeah, charlesclay.coach. You can find all of my services there and more information on the Inner Peace Process, Laser Focus Method. You did that online program as well. Mm-hmm. Those of you that are on Instagram can join me on charlesclay.coach. Happy to connect there. Don't hesitate to reach out, share what resonates with you. If you want to dive deeper on any of this work, I'm happy to connect. So it's all at charlesclay.coach. And then check out your Sovereign Chi practice, the alignment activation, free gift.
Yeah, free gifts. We love a free gift. Just like this podcast. Thank you for gifting us with so much beautiful wisdom. And your presence is always so deeply appreciated. And my brother, until next time, thank you so much.
Peace.
Peace.